My Left Right Foot the Musical is probably one of the most talked about shows in this year's Brighton Festival. It's the story of a group of amateur dramatic actors who try to do the right thing by staging a performance of My Left Foot, the film where Daniel Day-Lewis played Christy Brown, a man with cerebral palsy.
However, the cast get their knickers in a proper old PC twist when they realise the actor who actually has cerebral palsy is nowhere near as good as the able-bodied actor in this fast-paced and very, very sweary hit show. It ran at the Theatre Royal last week and Kyla Harris went to see it. Kyla is one of the people behind The Other Screen. That's a series of events dedicated to exploring representations of disabled people and deaf people in film and how those outlooks can be widened. Kyla, welcome to Radio Reverb. So My Left Right Foot was a hit with the critics. Was it a hit with you?
It was a hit with me. I found it really refreshing and I think I'm a musical lover and I love it when musicals are kind of turned on their head and you don't get the kind of he saw her, she fell in love kind of story.
So it revels in its own un-PC-ness, doesn't it? And I found that quite delicious, actually.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think everyone was up for... everyone was to be made fun of in the musical. Every single character, including the disabled character. And to me, that was also what was really refreshing, is that it wasn't... The disabled character wasn't caught in these binaries between being put on a pedestal or being, you know, kind of made fun of, really.
Yeah, they're all very flawed characters, all in their own way. What I liked about it as well was one of the actors was signing as she was performing. So she was signing the actual dialogue. She was one of the characters as part of it. And they also had the subtitles across the top, which is great in a musical because you can't always get it.
Well, they really integrated all of the access features. They really talked about the set, describing the set, audio describing the set on stage as things were happening. And I loved how they played with that. That, to me, again, was refreshing. It was fantastic just to see someone having fun with that. You know, Robert Softley Gale, who was the writer and director, I'm sure that he had a hand in that. And I thought just to see it that well done, because I've seen it badly done before, because it is a tempting thing to do, to want to kind of include subtitles and include BSL interpreting as well as audio description and have disabled actors. People kind of think, well, that's a lot to kind of manage in one show. And I think it worked here.
See, I'm the only person, I think, then, that really did not like this. And like you, I love musicals. I'm a big fan of musical theatre. But it just, the show just, I loved it for the first 10, 15 minutes. And then it just started to me to repeat slightly. And it just started to aggravate me.
You may not be the only one that didn't like it. I could see that it would rub a lot of people up the wrong way. And I think a lot of the audience was reacting and not always reacting out of excitement and glee.
I mean, I did like the way that it challenged an able-bodied audience to look at their own assumptions. I thought that was really strong.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned the audience, because I looked behind me and I saw a sea of kind of, you know, white presenting cis heterosexual seeming people, and I thought, I'm glad to, you know, kind of middle class, you know, and I went, well, this is actually a show that I'm glad to see this audience here, because really, you get, you know, with diversity and with access, you get a lot of solidarity between kind of LGBTQ people and disabled people, and I'm speaking very broadly here and generally, people of color. And to look back and see a mainly, as I say, white cis kind of middle-aged middle class audience was like, wow, these people are engaging with this and these you know, themes and this content, and to me that's exciting.
I think that's what comes of it, a company like National Theatre of Scotland being involved with a history where people, there's an audience that know that if they go along they're expecting a great show. And so there's no doubt. I mean, I love the set. Some of the acting I thought was fantastic. I liked what they were trying to do in it. It just, I thought I could have had enough of it after about half an hour.
So you're saying it had potential?
No, it had more than potential, and obviously people liked it. And I think, as I was saying earlier in the show, that the great thing about festival is there's something and things that you can find that are great and that you love, and other things that you really don't like but someone else loves, and you can have discussions about it, and that brings people together to talk and discuss why they liked. And then, and potentially you can make me reappraise, well, I doubt it though, but you could make me reappraise my response to that particular production.
You know, to me it was within the context of one of my favourite musicals, which is You're in Town. And I don't know if you've ever heard it, but it was made by an American who in the 90s, I believe it was the 90s, came to the UK and traveled around Europe and realized that he needed to pay for public toilets. And he was kind of aghast and thought, I know, I'm going to make a dystopian a musical.
Love it.
That is about a world in which we need to pay to pee. Right. And to me, that was within this context. It's really taking something that a lot of people don't know about, might not have this kind of perspective on, which is the idea that actually stories of disabled people need to be told from disabled people and not forgotten. And I think that was the point to me, was the idea that it wasn't about Daniel Day-Lewis and his performance. It was about the person behind it, you know, and that was Christy Brown. Mm. And to me, that was the story that Sean and how they went about that was intriguing and fascinating and fun to me.
See, I could now do a defence of Bad Girls the Musical, which I saw three times, and I think I was probably the only person who saw Bad Girls the Musical three times, other than members of the production team. But, you know, so each to their own, I'd say. I mean, I'm glad I went. I enjoyed it. I found it interesting. But I was very glad when it finished and I went home, because I'd had enough.
Mm. I found it interesting because it dealt with a lot of other issues as well. And I one of the things I would say about it I didn't quite like was I felt it tried to cram too much in. And obviously the core of it was the question of who should play a disabled person, and is an able-bodied actor the better person to play a disabled person? So when I interviewed Robert, who wrote and directed it, and I interviewed a couple of the actors, they said, you know, we don't reach a conclusion on that, and it doesn't really do that. What it does, it explores these other threads as well. So it looks at sexuality for people with disabilities and the fact that someone with a disability can be an attractive person, and challenges those. So I quite like the fact it was adding those other things into the pot, although I felt it kind of tried to cram too much in.
It was a bit of a sample platter.
That's a good phrase.
Smorgasbord.
And I think when you have content about disability, there's so much to be explored because it hasn't been explored, or it's been explored by non-disabled people. And when, you know, someone who has a disability is able and has a platform to be able to talk about these subjects, I mean, it's a bit of a what do you focus on, because there's so much, and also this idea of how do you represent, because then you become representative of a group of people, and I think that is something to tackle with this, and I think that possibly editing, possibly refining could have happened, but you know, I was happy with it.
Beyond this show, if you look at the festival programme as a whole, do you look at it and think there's some great stuff here that reflects me and disability and other disabled people, or do you look at it and say there's just this one piece that's doing that?
I looked at the programme and I was really excited to see in titles, you know, the word disabled. And to me, some people kind of shy away from using the word disabled even, you know, and I think some people also prefer, you know, neurodiversity and, you know, there's a whole umbrella, you know, there's so much diversity within disability. And as I say, you know, some people prefer the term disabled, some people prefer the term neurodiverse if they're talking about their own neurodiversity. And so I was happy to see that there was quite a bit of content about those subjects. However, I'm hungry for more.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds, you know, just talking to you now, there's plenty of areas that can be explored through it. So it's not as if, you know, there's not a lot to unpick and explore in theatre.
Well, it has to be said, someone who is doing more is you, Kyla. I think we need to get our money's worth out of you. You had an event last Friday. You run a series of films. What have you got coming up? You've always got something interesting on the go.
Well, actually, I do. Well, oh, this is, I kind of, you know, I'm new to the field of of representing disability in a way. You know, it's I have a lot of lived experience, right? 19 years of being a wheelchair user, and right now I'm actually in the process of writing a TV show. That features.
See, I told you she was up to something.
Yeah, and it really explores disability through a female friendship and from a female perspective, and we don't see that a lot. You know, actually, even in this, my left right foot, we see a lot of exploring disability from a male perspective, and while that's absolutely valid and interesting, again, I want more. You know. I want more, and I want more from a female perspective.
Honestly, these disability campaigners—they just want it all, don't they?
And a ramp too.
And a ramp. Oh, you don't want access to buildings in Brighton, do you?
Yeah,
by any chance?
Oh, don't get me started.
I mean, there is one thing as well. I think to mention about the Theatre Royal, because they have a limited amount of disabled access space. And we tried to get you in for a review on one night, and it's like, sorry, all the spaces are booked. So you know, tackling these kind of issues is absolutely crucial. It's a priority.
Well, it was really interesting when you know that you mentioned that, and then you just previously mentioned Rebecca about how, you know, what would I have, like, what did I see in the program? Well, there was a limited of things that I could see that because of access. You know, one of the things that really shocked me actually, and this is you know, fresh off the press, is that yesterday I tried to go to Phoenix Gallery, and I was, you know, super excited, gung ho, love the Phoenix, one of the best to me, you know, arts venues in town, and they have 5 floors of open studios, and I was only able to access the ground floor because their lift was broken.
Oh.
Now, after hearing that, I also found out that the lift had been broken for 10 years.
Right.
And so to me, it's really about prioritizing, I think, if you're going to be an open venue, a venue that promotes accessibility to the arts, which I think the Phoenix has always kind of stood for, you know, free gallery space, free quality, free entry, you know, kind of thing. And to me, I'd like to, I have no affiliation with the Phoenix, but I'd love to get in touch with them and see about getting a campaign going to make, to raise funds for lift access at the Phoenix.
So I think Iron Man is on the ground floor though, isn't it? Did you see those photos? Because I love that exhibition, just to...
I did like it. Yeah, good.
You got to see that anyway, because it's fantastic photography. Yeah. But the lift situation is an interesting one to raise, definitely.
Mm. Carla, tell us where people can find out about what you're doing with the other screen and what you've got coming up with that. Then,
yeah, I didn't even mention. You know, I get so enthusiastic about these topics, because I say, you know, it's very limited to have a platform for disabled people. So I put on the other screen does its film and discussion about representations of disabled people, as you mentioned before. We just had one on Friday night. It went fantastically well. We had a full house at Fabrica and had Eden and Andrew Cotting, who are father and daughter duo, who collaborate on films together and really raise kind of some questions about collaborating with family, with someone with a learning disability. And in the future, we hope to screen films that have to do with disability and sexuality. We hope to look at, you know, the whole kind of spectrum and gamut of representations of disabled people that are out there.
Brilliant. Carla Harris, thank you very much. Oh, tell us your Facebook for that.
So it's The Other Screen. So if you
the
just...
The Other Screen. Yeah. Great. Thank you very much for joining us on Radio Reverb. I'm really glad you enjoyed my left-right foot. I'm really interested to hear your perspectives on that, because obviously, you know, we're coming at it from a very different angle, and I think it's been great to hear what you have to say, and I'm really glad you enjoyed it.
Well, thank you again for putting me on the show.
It's a great pleasure. Always a pleasure to have you on Radio Reverb.